Good morning. Well, we continue our theology classes, and we are looking at today at Satan's nature and work. Last week we had discussed angels, and we find that Satan is a fallen angel. That's the extent, and that's the simplicity of the statement of what he is. But hopefully today, as we look through our lesson, we'll be able to find out more about this adversary and what his characteristics are and how that he can be defeated. Our adversary, Satan. I'll put it in red because when the blood of Christ is applied to our lives, he can't touch us. So, we keep that in mind. All right? Satan, the devil, is a real person. He is not a mythological, abstract thought or some figment of someone's imagination. He is a real personality, and he was created by God. Now, the recognition that Satan, Lucifer, was created by God helps us to avoid some very difficult teachings of dualisms, that there are two gods in the universe, good and evil. No, there is only one God in the universe, the creator of all, and it is God. He created all things. He even created Satan. Satan and God are not equal in power. There is not two gods of the same strength vying for your soul. It's not true. That's a lie. We find that in order for God to be God, he has to be the creator even of Satan. But this does not mean that God created evil. God did not create evil. He created angels. They too had the ability to choose right, good. They had the ability to choose to follow God or not to follow God. And we find that in their creation and in their being, there were some who resisted and some who rebelled, and this was the leader of this rebellion, of course, was Satan. And we're going to address some of his character later on. It is sad, but many in our world have been deceived by Satan. They have been deceived into thinking that he is a god, that he is in control, that somehow there is no god. And this is all his doing. It's his teaching. His philosophy, his whole idea is to try and to get people to fall away from God. There are two extremes that we can look at. One extreme is that the failure to take Satan seriously, to even acknowledge his existence. There are those who believe that there is no good or evil. We just have guilt feelings. They believe, or they try to teach, that Satan is nothing, nominative. He is not there at all. But there is the other extreme that we must avoid, and that feeling that we are defenseless against this enemy, this adversary. We recognize that we are to recognize that Satan is there. He is around. But we are also to recognize that he is not more powerful or greater than anyone than Christ. He is defeated by Christ. Our enemy, the adversary, Satan, has been defeated by Christ. And we stand in the boldness and in the confidence of the Word of God. So as we know the Word of God, we do not have to be afraid of the enemy of our soul, which is Satan. Now, we find that there is Satanism. It's the religious cult. It is a religion of itself. Throughout the modern world, there are various satanic groups. Some regard this Judo-Christian devil as actually true deity. They feel that God is the one who is evil, and Satan is the one who is good, because Satan gives them permission to go with their nature or with their flesh. So therefore, they are wanting, more inclined to go along with the natural perception. And this is kind of the liberal form of Satanism, that they believe that Satan is the true deity and that the Judeo-Christian God is the evil one. Because he doesn't want us, the Judeo-Christian God gives us laws and regulations concerning our actions. While Satan has no laws or regulations concerning your actions or morality. Then we move to the other end of satanic worship, and that is the ones who indeed believe that he is the prince of evil, whom they embrace as such, as the prince of evil, in hopes that they will receive some type of reward after death in his dark domain, in his dark kingdom. So there, you know, Satanism is not all the same. It is those who do believe that he is deity, that he is God, and that he is, that the God of the Judeo-Christian faith is evil. People will believe a lie. All right, so that kind of gives us a little basis then of what Satan, our adversary, is about. Now, he has many names. There are many names and many references to Satan. We find that the word Satan is the Hebrew word meaning to be or act as an adversary, an enemy. Satan, the word itself, means adversary. So whenever we say that our adversary Satan, it is, every time we use the word Satan, it is like saying adversary, enemy. You know, when we say enemy, first Satan, they're synonymous, same word, it's what it means. So as we look at that word, then it means adversary, enemy. All right. Now, Satan is also called Diabolos, which means devil. He is also called the accuser in Revelation 12:10, the tempter in Matthew 4:3. Of course, there are a number of other references. I'll just give you one, though. The enemy in Matthew 13:39, the wicked one in 1 John 2:13, Beel in 2 Corinthians 6:15, the deceiver in Revelation 12:9, the great dragon in Revelation 12:3, the father of lies, John 8:44. The murderer in John 4, 8:44 again. The sinner in 1 John 3:8. So the passages then of our lesson will help us to understand the character of Satan, our adversary, and that will help us to recognize his work and hopefully what his presence is like. Not what his presence is like, but what his presence would be like. Alright, so the first part of our lesson, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 14, we have verse 12 listed in our text, but I want to read verses 12 through 15 of Isaiah chapter 14. So if someone would like to turn there. He is the enemy of our soul. All right. Now, the Bible does not give a detailed description. Just as we have been stating all along, that God does not try to explain himself. The Bible just begins knowing that God is. that it does not explain the Trinity. The Bible just says the Lord our God is one God. Then it says the Lord our God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's three in one. Doesn't explain it, just tells us that it is. There is no detailed or sets down and say, okay, this is angels. We did, you know, like we did last night and last week with angels. There is no, that we have to look at the scriptures and see the references to angels, and then from those references we see what angels are like in their character. The same thing is with Satan. There is, the Bible does not give a detailed description of Satan, but we are given enough information to help us discern what his character is and what it is like. In Isaiah here, the scriptures that we have read in Isaiah 14, the Isaiah the prophet is offering a taunt to the Babylonian king, and because of his oppression against God's people. Well, in the midst of this taunt that he has towards the Babylonian king, in verses 12 through 15, we see not only the evil nature of Babylon, but we also see the information and inference here about Satan. Now, first, it has been noted that Satan is a created angelic being. All right, we've already kind of touched on that. He was made by God, and all his power is derived from God. He is the accuser of the brethren. He brings chaos, suffering, and unbelief to the world. That's kind of his mission, the self-appointed one. How did he get this way? How did Satan get this way? Well, from Isaiah 14, 12, we discover some of the answers to those questions. That we discover that his name is Lucifer, which is, that is the translation meaning shining one. Lucifer means shining one. All right, this was his title before he became Satan, the adversary. That he was Lucifer, the shining one. It is also called the day star. The day star. It's important that we recognize this and see that, you know, the position of Satan, that he is one, he is known as one of great beauty. It is assumed that he was next in command. The Father, there was God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Next in command was Lucifer, the day star, the shining one. We discover that he was fallen from heaven. In Revelation 12, 7, 8, and 9 is a description of Satan's fall from heaven. That there was angels that joined him in his conspiracy against God. And they fought against Michael, the archangel. And Satan is called the dragon in that passage. And his problem was he overestimated his strength, and he lost his battle against God. So he then and his evil angels lost their place in heaven and were cast out of heaven to the earth, where they attempt then to lead a rebellion against God. In Isaiah 14:12, back to our text that we read, we find that Lucifer was cut down from heaven. The Hebrew expression means to be cut off, cut asunder. It is described in Ezekiel as the way that heathen altars are broken or cut to pieces. The name Lucifer is H-E-Y-L-E-L in Hebrew, Heliel. And it gives insight into the nature of the name. Heliel gives nature into the gives insight into the nature of Satan. He was obviously made one of the grandest of God's creation. He was not equal to the Son of God, but he was a mighty servant and he had great power, had much power. His name in Hebrew, the Heliel, is closely related to the Hebrew word halal, H-A-L-A-L, which means praise. Those two words are very similar. So it has been suggested that he became envious. Well, it is suggested that he is the one who perhaps led the rest of the angels in praise to God and worship. But he became envious of the praise and worship that was directed towards God, and he desired it for himself. See, this is when people worship Satan, when they do the things that are wrong, God said, the scripture says about us, that we, by our actions, we are worshiping. Our actions are actions of worship. And Satan desires our worship. That he wants people to do that which is evil and wrong because he wants, it's a conflict of worship. It still is a conflict of worship. From the very beginning, the fall of Satan, that it was a conflict in worship. And here we find that Satan's conflict that he creates in the world is a conflict of worship. Of who we are going to worship with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Who are we going to worship? He may have been envious of the light of the Lamb, because Jesus is the light of the world. He is also known, Satan was known as the day star. So we find that in 2 Peter 1:19, Jesus is the supreme and true day star, and Satan sought that position as the shining one for himself. So there is this similarity in the sense that Satan was the highest of the created order. Well, his vanity is very much, is clearly described in Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. His goal was to raise his throne above the stars of God. What happened to Satan? How did he fall? This is the description that is given to us in Isaiah 14. That he desired to have his throne above the throne of God. He wanted to be enthroned on the mount of the assembly. That he was going to make himself like the Most High. In other words, he wanted to be God himself. He wanted to be God himself. So this idea of every religious group, that the New Agers and the Mormons, what do they teach? They teach about man being a god. The very basics of the deception and the fall of Satan is the very thing that man has created to make himself a god. That led to the fall of Satan. So this is the work of Satan. We must we must not be seduced into the glitter of being gods. Even some of the teachings of a few years ago that we are gods in the church. There was the idea almost of making ourselves the authority. It was the authority of God and the authority of God's word. Then it was the authority of the spoken word, and then it was the authority of my word. That we become gods and we're able to dictate and have the same authority as God and speak for God. We become gods. And that's the trick of the enemy, the trick of Satan. Because that's what led for him, that's what brought about his downfall. That Satan could rebel against God means that angels have the freedom of choice. They are not slaves. They have a freedom of choice. We know that they are spirits. They are not humans. They are not human beings with spiritual and corporal entities such as we are. But angels were created with the capacity to obey and to disobey. But they were not created with the same capacity for willing love. I think that's hard for us to... that's the hard part, I guess. What is willing love? As I was reading that, what is willing love? They do not have the capacity for willing love. That's why they do not have the capacity for redemption. But they have the capacity for obedience or disobedience. Satan can never be saved. Satan can never be saved. His constant desire is to destroy or hinder the will of God. That is his only desire, to destroy and hinder the work of God. His constant demeanor is one of anger. He is angry. He is angry at God. He is angry at the believers, those who believe in God. He will do anything to create disharmony in the church, or in the church of Jesus Christ. Anything and everything that he can do to create and disrupt, he will do. Because his main purpose is to destroy the work of God. And if he can, if people will be angry, if people will be bitter and disquieted and disgruntled and bitter, you know, all these types of things, those are not the fruits of the Spirit. And those are the things that Satan can use to disrupt the flow of his Spirit, of the Spirit of God. Anything that can try to stop the harmony in the body of Christ, Satan will use it. Whether it is, and we say, well, how can Satan use a Christian? Well, we look at Peter. One moment he proclaims Jesus as the foundation of all of the faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, Peter. And a few minutes later, he's telling Jesus that'll never happen and that he will never die. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. So what is that we must do? The idea is that we as Christians must know what is the Spirit of God and what is the spirit of Satan. Because both can be influential. It doesn't mean that the Christian is lost. But he can be influenced by Satan if he does not know and act according and respond according to the Word of God. That's why all of our actions and all of our everything that we say and do must be in accordance with what the Scriptures teach us about love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, you know, meekness. But that does not mean that we have no will, backbone, no strength, no character. That we're just simply walked over. No, it's not. It's strong in character, knowing the will of God, like Christ was. He was not pushed over by anyone. But yet he brought people the reality of the gospel. The reality of the gospel. Alright. In Isaiah 14:4, the king of Babylon is recognized as the oppressor. Now, this helps us to understand what the character of Satan is. The character of Satan is one of being an oppressor. The Hebrew word means one who treats harshly. He is an oppressor. He treats harshly. He treats harshly everyone who falls under his power through their sinful ways. That is why people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography and the whole works, that they are addictions, Satan treats them harshly. It destroys their body. It destroys their mind. Drug abuse and things, it just destroys the mind. Alcohol destroys the mind. That Satan is an oppressor. He is not happy when people serve him. He beats them and destroys them. His demeanor is anger. He has one purpose, to destroy. Those who serve him intently, his purpose is to destroy them. That's the sole purpose of Satan, to destroy. Steal, kill, and to destroy. That's his demeanor, that's his purpose. To those who serve him the most, he loves. No, he doesn't know what love is. He destroys. He is destructive. In Isaiah 53:7, the same word is used to describe what Jesus experienced on the cross. Satan oppressed Jesus on the cross. He was trying to destroy an oppressor, treat harshly. All right? But his evil oppression failed. We find in Isaiah 9, 4 to 7, as we read through Isaiah 53 and we read through Isaiah 9, there is the prophecy of the birth of Christ, and it states that his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9, 4, we find that Jesus has broken the rod of the oppressor. It is important that Satan is an adversary, that he is an oppressor, but Jesus Christ has conquered the adversary. He has broken the rod of the oppressor. Remember that. God, through Jesus Christ, has broken the rod of the oppressor. In part of his sermon in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter joyfully proclaimed that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The oppressor, that Jesus Christ has broken the rod of the oppressor, which is Satan. So the oppressor is defeated. So as we look then at the idea that we have this adversary, who is Satan, and the word adversary and Satan are the same, that he is one who is destroyed by Christ, and we must recognize his character. His character is one of evil, one of anger, one of oppressing. His whole intent is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. All right. In Isaiah 14:12, the devil weakens the nation. The Hebrew word for weaken is I can't pronounce it. It's C-H-A-L-A-S-H. And it means to be disabled or prostrate. So the idea that Satan weakens the nations is that he will cause these nations to bow down before him, that they are prostrate before him. So Satan's oppression includes bringing nations of the world to their knees to bow and worship him. Again, we see that this is the work of what Satan is, the desire for worship from the very beginning. How did Satan fall? He desired the worship. He was the morning star. He was the one who led in worship. And he desired the worship for himself. Now, when Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 9, Jesus was taken to the mountain, and the Spirit showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And what is it that Satan wanted Jesus to do? Bow down and worship. So, you see, it doesn't change. All through Scripture, the emphasis of what Satan is about is that he desires the worship. He desires that people would bow down and worship him. He is the one who weakens the nations so that the nations would bow down and worship him. It is still an idea or the basis of worship. He is the oppressor. Jesus has broken the rod of the oppressor. See, everything that Satan is defeated in Christ. Everything that Satan is, Christ is more. Remember, from the very beginning, we stated, these are not two equal forces. They are not two gods. God created Satan. Now, the question. I don't want to get there yet. I get there a little later. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. I'll hold you on the line here a little bit. Isaiah, and we read there, also asserts that Satan's character is pride, self-assertion, and the desire to be God. Pride, self-assertion, and the desire to be God. May the Holy Spirit enable us to recognize Satan's effort to entrap us in his evil mindset, that this is not the mindset of God, to have pride, self-assertion, and the desire to be God. It is not wrong to have confidence in God's ability to go forth and do the work of God. That's not self-assertion. For everything that God has and intends, Satan has a counterfeit. Now, we must not allow ourselves to look at the counterfeit and say we can't do that. That there is the work of the devil that is self-assertion, that people are out there pushing everybody over. Well, that's not the work of God, so we sit back and pretend that meekness is doing nothing. That's not true. Meekness is strength under control, being able to go out there and do the work that God has given us, but with direction. See, this person's out here self-assertive, pushing over and doing their own will, trying to push ahead. The child of God is out there proclaiming and doing the work of God, still going forward, but God is the one who is giving the power and the direction. You see, that's the character. That's what is involved with the church. And we can't look at what the negative is of what Satan's counterfeit is and then try and do the opposite. All right, any questions?
First part.
I like angels, and
we talked about those last week. And like I said, these are trying to describe the Trinity, these are very challenging lessons for us to comprehend here and get across in 45 minutes. But it's important that we understand, that we have a basic understanding of what the spiritual realities are that are here in the scriptures. And if we have this strong foundation, it's upon that that we stand and go forth to proclaim the word. Yes?
I think Satan hates us too because we have redemption, and he never will. You know, his judgment has been denounced. We have redemption out of his power, and he hates that. He hates us for that.
Right. Well, first of all, Satan is angry. He's angry at God. So his whole intent is he wants to destroy everything that God has created. So he hates and he will destroy those who serve him. And those who are serving God, he hates them more. So there is no love in his heart. There is no desire for good. There is no thought of inclination towards redemption, because there is none for him.
He knows his own end.
Right.
That's already been pronounced.
Right.
He knows.
But he's trying.
Even the demons know their end.
Yes.
You're coming before the time, or you're sending us into the abyss before the time.
Right. They know it's happening. But so their whole program then is to destroy the church, to destroy what God has created, to keep on destroying. He will weaken the nation. That is why the Muslim faith is increasing. That is why there's so many occults. There's so the increase. Why? Because he wants to weaken the nations. He wants to weaken the nations so that they will worship him. And we then, the Church of Jesus Christ, is out there to redeem the nations, to bring the message of salvation to them. And when Satan comes in as a roaring lion, he goes about like a roaring lion. We'll get that in a second. He comes about as a roaring lion, but that seeking whom he may devour. That's his idea. He's going around trying to devour. But the blood of Jesus Christ, hey, the lion attacks. The blood of Christ is there, and he can't do a thing. Satan on a leash. He can only go so far.
About
what? Oh, Satan has a counterfeit in that he tries to, there are those who have a form of godliness yet deny the power thereof. It is a counterfeit of the church. There are those who can, and 2 Timothy, perhaps we'll read that a little later. It's for our morning message. But anyhow, it talks about how that people will entertain. I'll read it. For among them are those who warm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women. It's talking about women here, but it's for all people. Loaded down with the burden of their sins and easily swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3, 7, 6, 7, and 8. So the Satan has a counterfeit, that the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, so on. The fruits of Satan are anger, bitterness, strife, malice, envyings, railings, the get even, the hatred, the bitterness. Well, those are, people can be, look good on the outside and inside they're being torn apart. They can appear as angels of light. Satan is thought of as the morning star. He can appear as the angel of light, but Jesus Christ is the light of the world, so he's the counterfeit. Whenever we have, in the book of Revelation, we have the Antichrist, we have the false prophet, and we have the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast. They are the counterfeit Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, the Satan tries to produce something that is counterfeit. He tries to produce a counterfeit church, the Church of Satan. The counterfeit would be the Mormons and things like that. The idea of making us gods, that we are to be servants of God, and here he is trying to make us gods. See, those are the counterfeits, okay?
He even counterfeits the communion and uses the crucifix and in the Satan worship.
Yeah. Well, in these rock groups, that one tape we looked at, that Hell's Bells tape, that in the rock group, the rock groups who have the biggest crosses are the ones, that's a sign of their anti-God. They use that as a form of disgrace to God. Mockery of God. So all these, Satan is trying to destroy the work of God. And he uses religious symbols to kind of almost as allurement. You look at the religious symbols and say, well, these people aren't too bad, but the ones who use the most religious symbols are generally the worst. This tape that we have shows that they have, the crucifixions. They have themselves on crosses and thorns and singing about God in church. They're in church with pigs around them and singing their song. I mean, it's all a form of Satan. Okay, on with Satan here, the adversary. He is a liar in John 8:44. So that's part of our lesson. So, second verse in our lesson, leaflet.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Ye are the murderer from the beginning, and abode not the truth, because there is no truth in him. And he speaketh a lie, and speaketh of himself, because he is a liar, and the father of
God. Okay. We find then that in John 8, he is describing the conflict that is between Jesus and the Jews. The Jews were claiming that Jesus was demon-possessed, that he was doing what he did by the devil, by the power of the devil. Jesus went on to show that it was they who were actually under the influence of the devil and not he himself. There is no doubt that Jesus had a better understanding of the devil than anyone had. Why? Because he created Lucifer. The morning star. He created all of the angels. But again, we remember, he did not create evil. God did not create evil. He created Lucifer, but he created Lucifer with the purpose of leading in worship. It was Lucifer who decided that he desired worship, that the worship that was given to God, he wanted it for himself. So he then led the rebellion. Jesus calls him the devil. Alright? Now we said that Satan means that Satan is adversary. And the word devil means accuser. Just as Satan means adversary, so devil means accuser. And he is the father of lies, he is the father of lust, he is the father of murder. It all originated with him. The one word that is used for lust, you see, you are the father, you are your father, excuse me, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. See, we've got to recognize that Satan often, you know, we have this problem of trying to make God like us. And sometimes we try to make Satan like us. And both are wrong. They're not like us. They have no, Satan is not like us. He has no conscience. He has no inclination towards evil. He is the father of lies. He is the father of lust, lies, and murder. The word lust. Lust denotes a strong kind, a strong desire of any kind. It is almost always used of evil in the New Testament. So whenever we find that Satan is the father of lust, that there are two major types of lust. The lust of the flesh refers to evil desires of the heart that express themselves in body activity. So we have the lust of the body, and the second is reflected in 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. These things that are not necessarily immoral. See, Satan, this is the trickery of it. There are things that are not necessarily immoral. But what makes it sin is that it interferes with the fulfillment of the plan of God and the will of God in an individual's life. That if he can hinder the will and the purpose of God, he will do it. And he who knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we find then that Satan, our adversary, and our accuser. See, this is the idea of condemnation to the Christian, that you are not capable of doing and fulfilling the will of God. That's the accuser. You are not capable of being a witness, you are not capable of doing this, you're not capable of talking for God or praying because your prayers aren't really important. You're not really capable of reading the Bible because you can't understand it. You're not capable. These are not sins in themselves, but they do not originate with God. They originate with our adversary, who is trying to hinder the fulfillment of the will of God in your life. See? Here you thought it was all made up here. Not always. Not always. See, we've got to recognize our adversary. We've got to recognize the enemy of our soul. And the things that we thought originated with us, many times have not originated with us. And we've been living a lie. Living and listening to a lie. Anything that would disrupt the harmony in the body of Christ does not originate with God. Doesn't matter who brings it up. But whoever would disrupt the harmony of God, it's just like Peter when Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." One moment he's telling him, you know, declaration, "Thou art of Christ." The next minute Jesus saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." God's influence and Satan's influence. We've got to know which one is which. Jesus calls Satan a liar. It denotes a falseness, a fakery of what one is or says. Again, this is he is the father of lies, to create falseness. We do not have to hide from the truth of who we are. We do not have to hide from our lack of abilities or inabilities, or of the things that we can do. We do not need to be, you know, we just need to recognize who we are, what we are in Christ, and build on that and go forward to serve God in it. It's not a matter of pushing ahead and falling over. It's a matter of walking with God day by day. It is the word of the Spirit, the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful. I didn't realize how much this morning's message goes along with the counterbalance what we are having here. The more I get into this message, the more I'm waiting for Sunday for our church service. because of what God has that is here for us, that we have this power that is in God, and Satan is there to try and take it away from us. And how does he take it away from us? He cannot touch God, but he touches us so that we do not recognize that it's there. It's like looking at an iceberg and saying, you only see the top part of it. We look at the power of God, what God's doing in our life, and we could have all of this power, but we just use the top part that we see. And there's all this that is submerged, and Satan says, well, just keep blind as long as you can. See? We need to recognize our adversary. He's a liar. He is a murderer. It literally means manslayer. This murderous spirit that Satan brings to people, we are told that this is why Cain murdered his brother Abel. He belonged to the evil one, and the murdered him because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. He simply saw they did not suffer the condemnation of their sins.